Okay, so we're continuing our series in Daniel, and we're looking at this evening the cost of being faithful to the Lord. It's a nice cheery title, isn't it? You know what you're in for when the title is the cost of being faithful to the Lord. And we're looking at Daniel 3, which is all about the fiery furnace and the image of gold. So I'm going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read it quite fast, but it's a story. It follows through quite easily. And then we're going to come back and look at some of those positive lessons that we can take out of that and what God might be saying to us here this evening. So reading from Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he'd set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Now, just so that we've got this in our minds, we're talking about a golden image, 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, on a plain. Now, we know we can see this church for miles because it's on top of a hill, isn't it? And it's got a very tall spire. This image not only stood 90 feet high on a plain, but was plated with gold so that it shone in the light of the sun. You could see this thing for miles, okay? It could not be hidden. It was very obvious. We read on. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you're commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." I have subtitled this talk this evening. It's called The Cost of Being Faithful to the Lord. I've called it Bow or Burn. Bow or burn. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And who could blame them? At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of all those instruments must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever doesn't fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of all these instruments, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you don't worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisers crowded around them. They saw the fire hadn't harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes weren't scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the god of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. What a fantastic story. But it's more than a story. And we're going to look at it in a little bit of detail just now. But the first thing I want you to just bear in mind is that Daniel 3, chapter 3 of the book of Daniel, follows chapter 2. You've got that, haven't you? What happened in chapter 2? In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that really troubled him. And he said to his advisors, "I want you to tell me what the dream means." And they said, "Tell me the dream." And he said, no, you've got to work out the dream and then tell me what it's all about. And if you don't, I'll have you cut into pieces. He was that kind of guy. A really good person to serve under. A lovely manager to have. And so Daniel saved their lives because he went to God. God gave him the dream and the interpretation, and Daniel shared that with the king. And the dream was really about empires. And if you were here last week, you'll have heard a bit about that. If not, you might need to download the talk. But basically, Nebuchadnezzar's empire, the Babylonian Empire, was described as a head of gold on this statue. And there were several other empires, but the bottom of this statue had feet that were mixed of iron and clay. And they were weak because they were divided, because iron and clay do not bind together well. And when a stone not cut by human hands rolled into the feet, the whole statue collapsed. Now Nebuchadnezzar promoted Daniel, promoted his three friends, and gave them responsibility because of the answer to this dream. But he also thought to himself, "Well, I'm not doing too badly because I'm a head of gold. That's pretty good. That's like a big tick in the box. And I don't really want my empire to crumble and to be dashed to pieces because of some weak feet that come along afterwards. So I'm going to do something to get rid of this division." It was all about division in the empire that caused its downfall. So he thought, "I'm going to do something. I'm going to set up something that binds everybody together, that brings them all under the same banner, that makes them a unity. In that way, perhaps I can change the future. Perhaps I can prevent this division." So he thought about a state religion to encompass them all, because the Babylonian Empire was made up of many religions, many peoples, all following their own gods. And so he thought, if we can get them all together and they all must bow down in this state-sponsored religion to this great gold statue, then they'll be unified and they won't be easy to break down in the future. So he set up this awe-inspiring statue, and he had all of these instruments that represented the empire. They came from all the different peoples in the empire, and all these different government officials, and the various names reflect the different races that were caught up in the empire, satraps and prefects and so on and so forth. And he had them all together, and he said, "We're going to have a great ceremony of dedication, and on day one, I'm going to have this special tune played by my wonderful new orchestra, and you're all going to bow down and become followers of this one religion." Now, maybe they would see in this statue something of their own religion. Perhaps they would say, "Well, we have a particular god. It doesn't really matter if he looks like this or anything else. We'll bow down to that." Or they might have said, "Well, we'll just add this god into all the other gods we've got, and we can bow down to this one as well. It doesn't really make a lot of difference." In that way, perhaps Nebuchadnezzar could gather all these things, these peoples together, and make of them one people. But he had a problem. His problem was the Jews. Because for the Jews, it was a huge issue. There is only one God, a supreme being. Our Ten Commandments say there's only one God and you can only worship him. Our Ten Commandments say you're not to make any image or bow before any other image. You shall have no other gods before me. No graven images, nothing. All of this, well, there's no room for compromise. That would be the end of their faith in this supreme being. And this supreme being had promised deliverance to his people. So they'd be letting go of their present and of their future. But the problem is, of course, that Nebuchadnezzar had given them an ultimatum. To all of his peoples in his empire, he said, it's either bow or burn. And I don't know if you noticed in the story, but on the one hand you have this immense golden statue, and just behind it you have a nice little furnace. And so it's a very obvious ultimatum. Turn to the left, see this marvelous gold statue 90 feet high. Turn to the right and see the furnace. Your choice. That's pretty stark. Three noteworthy Jews refused to bow. You can just imagine everybody else down on their faces in front of the statue, and there are three people standing there. Nobody seems to have noticed them at the time, but afterwards, perhaps at the end of the ceremony or in the middle of the ceremony, at some point, the local Babylonians, the Chaldeans, the fortune tellers went up to the king and said, hey, you know those Jews you promoted over us, those ones who are lording it over us now? Well, those guys refused to bow. What are you going to do about them? You said, worship, bow, or burn. They're not bowing. What are you going to do about it, king? And the challenge for Nebuchadnezzar was, this was his dream, this was his goal, was to have this great unity, and here were these three refusing to bow down and be part of this great scheme. It took immense faith and courage on their part. Can I take you back to Daniel 1, which is 2 weeks before this one? And in Daniel 1, Peter Williams was telling us about the fact that Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, didn't partake of the royal diet that had been commissioned for them because of all sorts of compromises in that diet. And they said, instead of eating all these rich foods, we're just going to have water and vegetables. Water and vegetables. Check us in a little while and see how we're looking on that. And a little while later, they were looking fine. So that was absolutely wonderful. God had sanctioned, if you like, their refusal to compromise on their diet. Those three guys had walked through that episode and everything else since in loyal service to King Nebuchadnezzar. And they came to this point, and that loyal service was just ignored. They dared to challenge the authority of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, the only reason that they could get to the point of being courageous enough to stand up and say, we will not, is because they had walked in a personal faith. They had practiced their devotions all the days in between. Every small act of loyalty to their Lord God, every act of devotion had prepared them for the time when Nebuchadnezzar said, bow or burn, and they said, we would rather burn than bow. Our God can save us. We know he's all powerful. He can do that. We don't know whether he will. We're not going to presume to answer for him and say he definitely will. We know he can, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bow. It took immense faith and courage. And the interesting thing in this story is actually there's no great speech. There's no great speech about it at all. It just comes down to a few short words. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter, they say in verse 16. We're not going to make a long, impassioned speech for our lives. We're not going to tell you about our wonderful service to you, how loyal we've been and so on, and how we're being misrepresented. We won't say anything about that. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Full stop. It's not the time for long impassioned speeches, it's the time to stand up and be counted. So, because his great plan is about to be frustrated, Nebuchadnezzar says, it's bow or burn. I'm giving you a second chance. show how magnanimous I am, what a good boss I am. Bow or burn? They say, nope, that's it. In that case, you're going to burn. And he gets so angry that he has the furnace heated up even more and has them firmly bound by the strongest soldiers and taken to the furnace, which was probably a brick kiln with a chimney at the top that they could be thrown into, and he could sit at the bottom and watch them roast. And he says, what God can save you from my hands? And they say, well, this God can. He's the only God. Now, we know the story. One, as a son of the gods, is there in the midst with them. The cords disappear, burnt off, but they're not touched by the fire. They're not tainted by the smoke. Not a hair of their heads is singed. And Nebuchadnezzar, in amazement, calls them out. As a result of this, he takes a step closer to true faith. And next time we'll be looking a bit more at that. But God uses this event not only to save these three characters, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had this immense faith and courage, but also to safeguard the worship of the Jews for generations to come because of the decree that Nebuchadnezzar gave at this point. And it kind of tells us something about the character of his rule and reign, if you like, that he says, anybody who says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble. Nice guy. They had stood, they had refused to bow, and they hadn't burned. You might say, well, that's not much of a challenge then, is it? But the thing is that they were prepared to be burned. They were prepared to be burned. And as a result of this challenge, they received even greater honor in the nation of Babylon. Great story, but what relevance for us here and now? Well, the whole reason we're looking at Daniel is we're wanting to know how we can live in an alien culture. How can we stand in a culture that doesn't actually necessarily believe that our Christian faith is true, or to be respected, or to be followed? That's exactly the situation they were in, as we've seen. Are there any 90-foot-high idols out there today that we are being called to bow down to? Well, they may not be so obvious. They may not be a 90-foot idol. But are you, am I, being called to bow or burn in some area or other? And it may be very individual to you. It may be something to do with your lifestyle. It may be something to do with your work. Whatever it is, are we being called to bow down to an idol? To bow or to burn? I just want to suggest a few things that occurred to me as I was preparing this. What about a desire to promote unity through a common belief system? A bit like Nebuchadnezzar with his common religion. And albeit for a seemingly worthy purpose, he was looking to keep the nations united under his rule. These days, a common belief system might be around British values. It might be around equality, tolerance, anti-discrimination, the greater good. It might be about being called to put our faith into a private box, a private sphere, because that's where some say it exclusively belongs. It has no place in the public domain. Within our own society, those things might sound good and reasonable. We might say, yeah, we're all for equality, we're all for tolerance, we're all for non-discrimination, we're all for British values, whatever they may be. We're all about the greater good. But they have been used in recent years in our society to prosecute, to pressure, and to punish Christians to conform, to toe the line, to backpedal on faith, its practice, its teachings, its convictions. On the surface, they seem good, but we have to look below the surface and ask ourselves deeper questions. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow down to that idol wasn't just about saving their lives, it was about sacrificing their faith. It was about losing their identity as a people and becoming something of a bigger whole, the nation, the empire that Nebuchadnezzar ruled over. For us, equality is absolutely great. We're all equal. We're the ones that started that off. That's what Christianity says. It says we're all equal before God, but we're not all the same. And we're not all about pushing forward our rights without realizing that rights bring responsibilities. We might talk about tolerance, but actually one thing we should not tolerate is evil. And not everything is equally true. And we have to look beyond those things and ask deeper questions. And sometimes, and I think it doesn't happen that often, but sometimes we have to get involved with civil disobedience, where those in authority are going beyond the authority, the remit that God has given them. But that is something that's well down the road. And perhaps we won't have to go that far. As Christians, we are called to serve, we're called to love, we're called to sacrifice for our faith. But there may come a time when we have to stand up. When everybody else bows down, we stand up. When everybody else joins in, we stand out. When everybody else is silent, we speak up. Because we're looking below the surface, we're asking what is really going on, we're looking to see the truth. Now, you may have challenges in your life. You may have somebody calling you to bow down, or to burn up your career choices, to burn up your relationships, to burn up your self-respect or the respect that other people give you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had lived out a life of faith over many years before they got to this point. They weren't looking for confrontation. They just wanted to practice their faith, and they wanted to serve the king. They were put on the spot, and when it came to it, when push came to shove, when somebody said, bow or burn, they refused to bow. There have been many heroes down the years who have done the same thing for their faith, and whether we think of a Martin Luther or a William Tyndale, whether we think of a Mother Teresa or a Corrie ten Boom, it doesn't really matter. There are others who have stood and refused to compromise. You know, in my own life, I've been prepared to risk, if you like, having my career, my opportunities burnt. I've sacrificed relationships for the priority of faith and that relationship with Jesus Christ. Each one of us is called, sometimes in a very small way and occasionally in a very big way, to decide, am I going to bow or am I prepared to burn? Are you prepared to lose face, to lose perhaps your future and even your family for the sake of Christ? Are you prepared to put them on the altar and to allow them to burn? God may save. That's in his hands. We dare not presume. But the call to each of us is to keep close to God as these three did, practicing our faith daily, living out the Christ life, getting to know the God who has made it all possible and who has brought us into his family and who has put his Holy Spirit within us that we might stand for him. Then we'll know in our spirits when God says no, and when the people of God will stand with you, even though we burn. These three knew that relationship. These three knew what it was all about, and these three were prepared to carry the cost. Are we? As we close this talk, I just want to invite you, if you're perhaps facing a bit of a challenge, perhaps there's an idol out there, perhaps somebody's calling you to compromise in a way that actually you know you shouldn't be comfortable with, I want to ask you to think, am I prepared to sacrifice my name, my reputation, my career, a relationship, something I hold dear? Am I prepared to see those things burnt up in the fiery furnace so that I can know that I'm walking with God and that God walks with me even in the midst and through the worst of suffering? Shall we stand together? Let's just stand now and consider for a moment, if everybody around you were to bow, would you stay standing? If everybody around you were to compromise, would you give it all for Christ? Because he's already given it all for each one of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you know us intimately. You know the challenges you call us to. Lord, we pray that you'd reveal to us the truth about every issue we face, every compromise, small or great. And you give us that courage. You give us that faith. You give us that clear-sightedness that says, no, I will not bow. I would rather burn for the sake of my Lord and King, who gave it all for me. Lord, we surrender everything to you. It came from you, it will return to you. And we thank you that you call us by name. Lord, we want to stand with you and with one another in your kingdom for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.